that hinder their quality of life and their ministry. The Green Herb is offering you an opportunity to help these hurting Christians. You can have your own Green Herb home business for just $950. This includes inventory, training, samples, and everything you need to get started. This is not network marketing. It's a genuine opportunity to build a business. How do I know? Linda and I started in our home almost 15 years ago, and we would like to help you start your own herbal business. We are not looking for high-profile salespeople, just someone who loves the Lord and wants to help his people. For more information, call me, Tom Phillips, at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. I'm looking forward to your call, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And Joel, what are we going to talk about this morning? What are the really important issues you want to bring before our audience?
Now, this today's World Affairs Brief, which is coming out sometime after this interview, is going to really concentrate on the pattern that I see developing that is similar to the pattern in the Great Depression, that financial crisis and Great Depression usually invites war. And I think we are seeing a similar pattern here. You know, it's not that financial woes themselves lead to a collapse of a nation. That really has never happened. Even the Soviet Union really just got down to a survival level of a company, but that doesn't really bring down a nation, but rather those conditions embolden predators to conquer nations that are in a weakened financial state. Now, in this case, the entire West is becoming vulnerable to conflict due to the unilateral intervention of U.S. neocons that they've foisted on the nation in the name of democracy. Now, the collapse of the Soviet Union was not a true contradiction to my thesis that nations don't die from economic problems. So-called fall of communism never really happened. It was a carefully crafted deception. Even in satellite states like Poland and Romania, Soviet agents masqueraded as anti-communists and waited for the command from Moscow to take command and begin the charade of independence. You know, in Russia, the real communist leaders who controlled Gorbachev you know, shed their secret positions of power and used state loans to help them buy up all the industries in Russia. Thus, the famous oligarchs were kind of like born in an instant, which, you know, doesn't really happen in real life, and are even now manipulating Putin and Medvedev to create a new conflict with the West as Russia reemerges in military strength. Now, Western intelligence and their globalist controllers knew that the fall of communism was a deception, but interestingly enough, they covered up for it. They didn't expose it, having their own purposes in fomenting war and allowing Russia to you know, project this this false image so that they could continue to build the best enemy money can buy, as you're so want to say. You know, thus, in these times of deepening recession, we will see ourselves, I believe, drawn into yet more conflicts, not less, created, of course, behind the scenes to force the hand of an apparent reluctant change agent like Barack Obama. Now, citizens of distressed nations, sadly, you know, according to historical perspective, almost always go along with desperate measures that conniving leaders propose as solutions, false solutions, actually, even though damaging and destructive in the long run. And I believe this is going to be a 1-2 punch. First, a deepening worldwide recession, which we're seeing right now, that will justify increased economic control and power in the hands of those who brought this upon us, followed by rising tensions in foreign policy that will lead to a massive consolidation of globalist power. You know, after a major war begins, and that, I don't believe, will happen during Obama's term. Even though there will be minor wars, I don't think we're going to see a major world war until at least the latter part of the next decade or toward the end, just because I don't think Russia and China will be ready for that.
So, well, I hope you're right. I hope we have that length of time, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, certainly you are correct. It doesn't pay to count on that much time. When I consult with clients about preparing for these things, I do say that one ought to be ready, really, by the turn of the decade, though I do think that we have more time. Sometimes it's just a merciful God giving us more time to wake up, or giving a few the chance to wake up, that our efforts in talking to people on the radio can take hold. But there is always that sleep tonic of the illusions of peace and prosperity. Now, those illusions of prosperity have been shaken, but Americans have never been able to be rustled out of their all is well feeling about the nation. And we've never been attacked. It seems inconceivable that the U.S. being the strongest parent, strongest military in the world, could ever be attacked and beaten. In fact, our military is very, very high tech, but it's fairly thin in the sense that it doesn't have much depth against a real enemy that has huge depth in conventional weapons and even high tech weapons like Russia does and like China is emerging to have. Much of the evidence of what I'm predicting is based on the fact that almost nothing changed for the better or away from international intervention when George Bush took over from Bill Clinton, even though he promised to stop involvement in international meddling. Do you remember that?
Oh, he said we're not going to have any more nation building. I mean, why is Clinton doing all this nation building? And then as soon as he gets in, he does exactly what Clinton had done, only on steroids.
That's right. No more nation building. He just said that. And, nobody holds his feet to the fire about that. Just incredible. If a real, true constitutional conservative had made such a statement and gone through this, they'd be after him, haranguing him constantly. I thought you said, Mr. President. What is even more shocking was Bush's absolute refusal to undo any of Clinton's executive orders or prosecute Clinton administration personnel for blatant violations of law, including what I believe is the president, who pardoned people like Mark Rich, criminals and drug dealers and other people that, they were paying off with pardons, in fact, received money to grant pardons. This was just a total corruption of the presidency. Probably not the first time, but it was certainly the most blatant one. And it looks like we're in a rerun of that, Dr. Stan. An AP AP report quotes two unnamed Obama advisors who say it's the policy of the Obama administration, there will be no war crimes investigations or prosecutions relating to the Bush administration's torture policies, period. Nor do I expect them to change existing policy on surveillance or torture, even if they close Guantanamo. That might be a symbolic thing they'll do. The CIA will certainly do secret detention and torture elsewhere. Well, the Obama transition team and emerging cabinet's a harbinger of no change, frankly. Evidence of no change, comes from watching the selection of these people.
Well, we'll be back here in just a moment, and the old saying, the more things change, the more they remain the same. We'll be right back with Joel Skousen on the Affairs Brief.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, pick the story up.
Well, we're talking about the fact that the Obama team that's being put together, advisors and transition team, are always filled with people affiliated with globalist cliques that revolve in and out of government. Jeremy Scahill, author of a blockbuster piece on alternate.org entitled, "And This Has Changed, 20 Hawks, Clintonites, and Neocons to Watch Over Obama's White House." It's a rhetorical question. He goes on to say, in fact, that it's you know, a confirmation that all of these people come from the political establishment. This has not changed at all. It's a little wonder that there's a lot of Clintonistas in the cabinet or in the team with John Podesta, Clinton's chief of staff, doing much of the selecting. I mean, this is the old Team A, Team B switcheroo, Dr. Stan. The globalists control both major parties, and they have Team A and Team B, and Team B is mostly composed of a certain set of national security advisors from the past, Democratic administrations who play that side of the aisle. Zbigniew Brzezinski looms large there, and his son. You know, you have Sandy Berger, you have even people from the old H.W. Bush administration. It's just that nobody from the current Bush administration, except perhaps Robert Gates, will stay in as defense secretary, they say. But in any case, he says, you know, these were all people we knew in the 1990s. What's important to remember is that 1990s foreign policy looked like, because what Barack Obama's campaign, you know, while he pledged to bring change, and if you actually analyze U.S. foreign policy from George W. Bush through Bill Clinton to George Bush, there are great consistencies. There has been no change between any of those. I mean, Bill Clinton's policies in the 1990s really laid the groundwork for much of what President Bush did while he was in office. And what H.W. Bush did in attacking Iraq laid the ground for the Clinton administration. You know, you had the Iraq Liberation Act in 1998, which was the result of collusion between neoliberal Democrats and neoconservative Republicans. That made regime change in Iraq mandatory. That brought on the merciless economic sanctions, the longest-sustained bombing campaign since Vietnam, dismantling Yugoslavia, bombing Yugoslavia and Serbia, implementing such idiotic policies as the Rambouillet Accord against Milosevic, that was essentially a setup to take away Yugoslavia's sovereignty, very similar to what Bush did in the lead-up to the Iraq invasion. Clinton attacked Sudan, Afghanistan, and what I point out, Scahill says in my piece, is that many of the architects of those policies in the 1990s were not only people who supported the Iraq War and promoted the myth that Saddam you know, had weapons of mass destruction, but are now at the center of Obama's foreign policy team. He gives the example of Joe Biden, of course. You know, here the vice president himself, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, Senate Foreign Relations Committee, in the summer of 2002 when the Iraq War was being debated. And Joe Biden was the man in charge of framing the debate, and he covered up major issues related to the undue, that could have led to the non-intervention in Iraq by refusing to call two key witnesses. One was former Chief Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter, who would have testified that Saddam Hussein didn't in fact have weapons of mass destruction, and the other is the former head of the UN program in Iraq, Hans von Sponeck, who would have testified that al-Qaeda was not being trained by the Saddam government, that in fact they were not receiving assistance, and they were, you know, as you know, basing their operations out of a U.S. enforced safe haven in northern Iraq under U.S. control, or at least under CIA protection. And of course, then there's Rahm Emanuel, the new chief of staff of Obama. He's a hardliner on Israel, not just Israel per se, but of the variety that you know, essentially says that the Israeli government can do no wrong, even though the Israeli government continues to betray its own country and betray the Israeli right, which it pretends to represent. Rahm Emanuel has been around for a long time. He's a real smart fellow, dangerous fellow. He goes clear back to the days when they passed NAFTA, along with conservative change agent Newt Gingrich, who really is no conservative. He comes from a leftist background, and he only played the role of a conservative. He's very, very, he's the epitome of Rahm Emanuel on the Republican side. And Rahm Emanuel is, you know, one of those instigators and behind the scenes, under the table manipulator that is going to be very effective as the chief of staff in wielding the president's way around Congress. And then there's Madeleine Albright, responsible for the bombing of Serbia, and as you pointed out, the horrible genocide in Rwanda. She was part of that cover-up, saying, you know, what genocide? One of the, of course, deans of the Democratic elite. Many of her proteges are some of the key people operating now on the Obama team. Richard Holbrooke is there. He, of course, one of the key figures in the genocide of East Timor under the Carter administration. One of the key figures in dismantling Yugoslavia and promoting the myth that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Then there's Tony Lake, who was responsible for the destruction of Haiti. I mean, this is a team that is known for all of the worst interventions around prior to George Bush. You even have Dennis Ross, who was with both H.W. Bush and Clinton's Middle East policy, all during the time of the insidious Oslo Accords, which was a secret agreement with the Palestinians to essentially yield Israeli sovereignty, and it didn't work out. The Intifada of 2000 blew apart that secret agreement. I happened to be in Israel during that time when it started, and I'll tell you, the Jewish settlers really felt betrayed by the government when it became evident that they had, you know, betrayed all of their promises not to negotiate in secret with these people and not to give away essential sovereignty. Fortunately, you know, for the Israelis, the Arabs couldn't keep their part of the agreement or control their people, and they blew up again in continual uprisings. Here's Martin Induk. He and Ross both work closely with AIPAC. You know, it's a ruthless Jewish political action committee that targets anyone who dares speak out against the evils of the globalist Israeli government. Not, you know, they certainly aren't in favor at all of protecting the right of Israeli settlers and others who are the best people in Israel. They also worked on the project for the New American Century. So did Michel Flournoy, who's one of those people down the line who may be tapped as the first female defense secretary. That'd be just like Obama to do that. And she's the one who authored a paper that reframed Obama's perspective on Iraq, backing him off the total withdrawal rhetoric and devising the kind of slick language that talks about keeping a residual force, downsizing, rebranding the occupation in a way that's more tolerable to both the establishment and the anti-war crowd, which was looking to Obama for change.
Well, so it's so disheartening. You know, there's so many good people out there who honestly believe that Obama is going got to bring change. And as you say, you know, it's exactly the same group that surrounded Bill Clinton, which, of course, is the same people and the same forces that were behind both the first and the second Bush administrations. And who knows, with the lineup we have, we may even look back on the Bush administration, the second one, as the good old days.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dr. Stan, when you read these reports and things, you realize, and I've been in Washington myself during the Reagan administration, I'll tell you, it's the government is a huge operation. I mean, it's just thousands of people to be vetted and put into position, given power to do things. And, you know, it's very tempting, of course. And, you know, one man, even elected president, of course, can't do it. He's forced to rely on people who claim that they've done this before. And that's one of the greatest dangers of the flywheel effect in politics in America, is that it's like running a great super aircraft carrier, you know, or 100 aircraft carriers, and you don't know how they operate unless you go to the people who have operated them before and they claim to know. And it's very difficult to change and bring in people who are completely new and expect them to know the intricacies of these things. Now, in fact, you really don't have to know how everything works. You're not really going to change the civil service and the people at the second and third and fourth tiers in each one of these departments who know what they've been doing before. What you really do need to know is to put in people who know how to change policy. They don't have to change how things work, except as they first change policy, and then the bureaucrats will come out of the wall and say, well, we can't do that because we have this policy, we have this way of doing things. And then he says, all right, let's work out the differences and you know, tell me how and what I need to do to implement this new policy, you know, of liberty, of not intervening in the economy any more than have to, and appropriate regulation. And you start changing things, but you don't have to know it from the very beginning. You just have to know, have a roadmap of what policies you want to change. And there's much that a president can do without even going to Congress, because so much power has been given to the executive. And in fact, they will do some policy changes for the worst. Of course, we're going to see, I think, more emphasis on global governance. There's a large number of globalist foreign policy experts that are working. They claim to be lobbying the new Obama administration. In fact, they're all over inside the administration. And as Jim Loeb reported on IPS, they have a joint resolution that's coming out today in the New York Times calling, among other things, for incoming administration to pay U.S. debts to the world body on time. This is a big pro-UN, pro-globalist piece they're writing. Join the Human Rights Council, which is much criticized on human rights, to join the International Court to approve past treaties that U.S. presidents have failed to ratify, like the disastrous Law of the Sea and the Kyoto Accord. It also calls for the new administration to lead U.N. efforts in nuclear proliferation, climate change, and Millennium Development Goals, another euphemism for bailing out deadbeat third world countries with aid from, quote, wealthy companies. Well, I attest there are no more wealthy companies or countries anymore, especially the United States, can't solve their own problems, let alone anyone else's. Of course, among the three signatories are former national security advisors, Brent Scowcroft, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and you have Samuel Berger, as well as four Democratic cabinet officers, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, Warren Christopher, Harold Brown, William Perry of Clinton, of the Clinton administration, all of these influential in the Obama transition. So I really don't think this resolution is aimed so much at supporting the UN as it is supporting the globalist New World Order, which currently is linked to the UN. The UN support could easily be switched to a new organization when needed, especially if resistance continues to these core specific treaties because of the participation of Russia and China in the UN. As we pointed out in previous interviews, I think it's very likely that at some point, may not be this administration, but in some future administration, they're going to change people's or their rhetoric about the UN and say, well, Russia and China are being obstructionists. We're going to have to change to a new organization. They'll separate out of the UN, which is this horrible combination of tyrannical governments with democracies. They're going to separate out all the democracies and call it a League of Democracies to fool conservatives into embracing an international force with the kind of military power that it would now resist giving to the UN. And they will think that because reemerging communist nations are now excluded, that it's safe to relinquish more national sovereignty to this organization, and that's the trap. Now, of course, this last week we had the G2 financial summit in Washington. It was but a new and minor step in the direction of establishing international control. But as what Mike Whitney of Global Research pointed out, the summit was a washout, no policy solutions, global economy still on the brink of disaster. Absolutely right. As expected, it was a total bust. However, they'll be back for more. This was only the first in a series. And it was the beginning of a process that won't end until globalists get what they want.
Which is, of course, a new world financial order, a new world order, world government. All fitting into the pattern. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here in America.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
This is Pastor Michael and Danny Golden from the Hebraic Roots Ministry of Voice of Many Waters. We'd like to invite you to join us Saturday, November the 22nd at 1 p.m. during our regularly scheduled Shabbat Mikra service at the Voice of Many Waters at 3J's Coffee House at 21 North Paris in Johnstown. We'll be welcoming noted biblical economist Norm Franz. Norm will be speaking on Mystery Babylon and Judgment Comes to Wall Street. That's Saturday, November the 22nd, 1 p.m. Seating is limited, no child care available. A love offering will be taken. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief comes out every Friday. It's my weekly news analysis service, much as we're talking about today. It is available by a modest subscription price, and people can find out about the World Affairs Brief on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. It's showcased right on the front, a synopsis of the current brief with an offer that people who would like to read the whole brief to see if they'd like to subscribe can get a one-time free sample just by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. There's an awful lot of free things on the website, and they can. I talk a lot about and give the evidence for cover-up that have occurred, everything from the JFK assassination to the Oklahoma City bombing to 9/11, and how that's the best evidence of conspiracy. I talk about my major thesis about why Russia and China eventually will attack the United States and why our globalist leaders will foment that war. We're seeing this play out. And this brief today is a major continuation and exposition of that. Now, I also have my researchers post right on the front page of the briefs all the top stories of each day that they've culled out the best of what's available, even though you know, every establishment story leaves out an awful lot. That's the purpose of my work in the World Affairs Brief, to put back in the key points of information that would essentially change people's view if they knew that when they are bombarded with this these selective omissions in the news each night on the television and in the newspapers.
Well, I certainly recommend your website, World Affairs Brief, to all of our listeners. You can go there completely free and pull down all the research papers that Joel and his staff have collected, and so you don't have to go through, you know, a dozen different websites you know, every day. Here they're all crystallized. I think most of the really important articles are there, and then you don't even have to read the article. You read the summary, and then if you're interested in the article, why, you pull it down. But you'd really do a great service for me, Joel, and for other people who are trying to keep abreast of what's going on and realize that the media is controlled, that so many of the really important articles are not going to be there, or if they are in the general newspapers or news magazines, there'll always be a slant on them. So go right ahead.
Well, I next take up some commentary that historian Webster Tarpley made in as he weighed in on the new Obama regime. He correctly predicts that Barack Obama will have wide initial support around the world because of his unique dual identity as both Muslim and Christian. That may be surprising to your listeners, but outside the U.S., Obama is being portrayed as a Muslim to woo Africa. You know, in the West, he's billed as a U.S. citizen and Christian. But the best evidence points to the fact that he was born in Kenya, not Hawaii, where his mother took him after birth and falsely certified to the state that he was born there. Obama's Kenyan birth documents have recently, according to reports, been smuggled out of Kenya by anti-government dissidents to England with the intent to reveal Obama's true birthplace and identify him as a non-U.S. citizen. And I don't believe, however, that the powers of evil ever let this information see the light of day. Certainly they control the British government enough to stop this. Tarpley, who doesn't really understand the nature of the conspiracy underlying these future plans, you know, he thinks it's just greedy capitalism, believes that the Obama administration will actually become more aggressive, and he's correct in this, more militaristic than the Bush administration. Now, that's quite a statement, given what Obama claims.
Well, but now, then I remember so clearly, you know, George Bush saying there will be no more nation building, and this is what Obama said. You know, we're going to stop the wars, pull our troops out, bring them on home. That's what he said. But what he starts doing, you know, increasing is the militancy of our nation. Why, you know, everybody's going to say, well, they're going to forget what was said. I mean, they're going to be so enthusiastic about the change he's bringing, especially because if he can give us all a tax break, everybody was just waiting for that big tax break we're going to get.
Yes, everyone's waiting for the bailout, but, you know, Obama, even though he may not think he's a puppet, he obviously knows that he's very much controlled by those that pulled the strings of power and that he's beholden to them. They made him wealthy. They paved the way for him to become president. He may think he's president, but he probably does not realize the real powers behind the throne and what they're capable of pulling in terms of foreign policy crises that will force his hand to react to those, and those advisors will be right on his elbow to tell him, you know, what he's got to do, or what the only solutions are, and he'll project that to the American people. You know, Tarpley rightly notes the Russia and China are the real threatening centers of power to the West, not Iraq and Iran. But he wrongly thinks that is why the Anglo-American establishment powers will try to smash Russia and China. He fails to understand that the sophisticated use of conflict creation by the Western globalists, which never attempts to completely eliminate all enemies, even in a world war. They always allow a new enemy to rise up from the ashes of war so as to have something to leverage off of in their change agenda. Thus, in eliminating Hitler, they secretly made agreements with Stalin to allow him to become the new enemy with huge territorial gains under his control and oppression. I mean, it's very, very clear that they gave away powers and control to Stalin they didn't have to do. He was going to have to be in the war one way or the other for his own self-survival. But the U.S. used the fact that we need two fronts and we need Stalin, that we have to give him all these concessions. Not true at all. But, of course, that's the official view of history.
Well, you know, I think the official handler of Obama is going to be Biden. There's a fascinating article in Newsweek magazine on November 3rd by a fellow named Haas, Richard Haas. Most people have never heard of him, but he's the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Trilateral Commission. And you read his writings over the last decade and a half, and you realize he's one of the major movers behind the scenes. And in this article in Newsweek magazine, he tells Biden, you're going to have to listen to somebody who can really give you the inside information. There's one person who's closer to you than anybody else in your administration other than your wife, and that is your vice president. Listen to the vice president. Heed his counsel. And I think that Richard Haas is basically saying that Joe Biden, who, although I don't think he's a member of the CFR now, he has been in the past, but he's obviously very close to the centers of power, Joe Biden is going to be the one who's going to more or less be the Dick Cheney of the Obama administration.
Well, we'll have to see, Dr. Stan. I'm not yet convinced of that just because Biden makes so many gaffes. He's not as careful a manipulator as Dick Cheney. We'll have to wait and see who the national security advisor is. That's the one that they usually pick to control the president as his handler. Going to the vice president was an anomaly, very real during the Bush administration.
Well, we'll be back.
Staff of over 600 people.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Center.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, go ahead and pick the story up.
Well, let's see. We were talking about Obama's...
Well, we were really talking about, I mean, who is going to be the one who would be controlling, you know, the Obama? Would it be, and I'd suggested that Richard Haas had appointed Joe Biden, and you were saying you thought it would probably be the National Security Advisor.
Well, what, I'm still open to the fact that it could be the vice president. People are looking at that. They may switch back to the more hidden power behind the throne and a national security advisor. It will always all depend on who he picks.
Sure. But there's always
a handler.
Always has been.
If he picks a strongman with a real straight line to the CFR controllers and things, then I'll go with the national security advisor. If he picks a weak one, like he did with Condoleezza Rice, who was just kind of someone in training, then you know it's not the national security advisor. It's got to be someone else. But clearly, Cheney had this huge staff of almost 600 people, which is unheard of for vice president. If McCain had got elected and Sarah Palin was in office, she'd have a staff of half a dozen PR people, and that's all she'd be doing. Not like Dick Cheney, who had fingers in every corner of the executive and people everywhere in government to report to him and to twist arms and to do all the things, to the vetting that he had to do to control this administration. So this will be very interesting, as you point out, to see who is the man behind the throne. Obviously, Obama is much sharper intellectually than George Bush, so they'll have to play him a little bit differently. I mean, they literally had to write the scripts every time for Bush, and Obama's very capable of winging it and doing it a good job, but they still will brief him on things and feed ideas to him, and we'll see how this happens. So part of my brief, which we won't have time to get into, and if your listeners you know, want to get a free sample, they need to email me about these things. But I'm going through the various ways in which I'm predicting these foreign policy people will begin to antagonize Russia and China. This is going to be the new focus. Tarpley believes, and for the wrong reasons, I believe it's going to be the new focus because, in fact, the globalists you know, want to eventually have a major war where the United States is destroyed, at least its military is destroyed, so that our leaders come out of their bunkers and convince the Americans that we must finally put all of our remaining forces in support with the UN to come to our rescue, or a UN-like organization to come to our rescue. And, of course, NATO expansion is going to be the prime vehicle for antagonizing Russia in the Obama regime. We're going to see various critics continue to ply the much-touted Reagan promise to Gorbachev during the phony collapse of the Soviet Union. The U.S. would not attempt to lure the former Soviet states into Western Europe or NATO, especially East Germany, which they did. And this promise was never viewed as binding on the West, and Russia is disingenuous in claiming that they relied on this promise. However, that isn't stopping the globalists from parading it about as a broken promise and threat to Russia. The left is particularly adept at using this promise to decry the proposed U.S.-Polish ABM system in Poland as a violation of Reagan's promise. Now, Tarpley claims that the Russians' response to the ABM placement, putting Iskander missiles into the Kaliningrad enclave, which is on the border of Poland, right in the heart of NATO, is justified because of the offensive missile potential represented by our future missile installations in Poland. This is completely false. There is no parity between this provocation and response. The Iskander missiles have explosive warheads and are much more numerous than the U.S. ABM system. And the ABMs are, which will number less than a dozen, have no warhead at all. They can't be used in any way offensively. The ABM system is only a threat to a Russian first strike against the West, and that is why the Russians are so violently opposed to it. That's the only reason. And when Tarpley tries to explain why all this is happening, he trots out the idea, of course, that the bankers want to impoverish the U.S. That may be partly true in the sense of allowing them to gobble up weaker banks for very little money, as I pointed out in past briefs, but it's not the main rationale for this foreign intervention. It is not a matter of greed, but a globalist agenda to undermine U.S. sovereignty. Bringing on financial crises is only a temporary step in creating a reason for concentrating more power in the executive, and that power will be used, of course, in the foreign policy realm as well. Tarpley does recognize that the key to understanding the Obama administration is the presence and advice of the big new Brzezinski and his son in the foreign policy arena. Now, Brzezinski, of course, goes back to was the handler of Jimmy Carter, in the Jimmy Carter presidency. He's being portrayed incorrectly as an anti-neocon. He is not. He's merely another side of the globalist team feigning opposition to the Bush policies while positioning himself to cause the new administration to switch targets from the Muslim world to Russia. Now, the purpose of both strategies have been the same. One, to make the U.S. out to be the bully of the world, which, of course, hands Russia and China an eventual excuse to attack, doing the world a favor. And two, to use the post-nuclear attack climate of fear to drive Americans into a globalist pact for survival. And that's the main CFR plan. Now, if my analysis is correct, the Obama team may still target Iran, even though their ardor for doing so seems blunted now due to the extreme exigencies of the failing world economy. They may not well be able to afford more expenditures in that regard. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, of course, will always be with us since there is no real solution there. I think it's going to go on clear up to the Battle of Armageddon. Though it will not wait for the economy to rebound as increased tension with Russia and China, that seems to be the focus of everything the big new Brzezinski is pushing for behind the scenes. Getting down to specifics, Tarpley thinks that neocons under Bush or McCain will have would have attacked Syria over the Russian Mediterranean fleet in the naval base of Tartus. In contrast, he thinks old Zib will try to convince Obama to turn Syria and Iran against the Russians. Now, I don't think, however, that's possible. While these two nations might be bought from time to time or forced to cooperate with the U.S., Iran and Syria would never trust us in a long-term relationship compared to their longtime patron, Russia. So I believe the provocations with Iran and Syria will continue unabated under Obama, which will continue, of course, to exacerbate Middle East instability and likely lead to another Middle East war. That is most probable, I think. If we have war during the Obama regime, it will be Iran leading to a wider Middle East war, Israel versus Syria.
Well, we're out of time, Joe. We'll talk to you next week. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. This is Pastor Michael and Danny Golden from the Hebraic Roots Ministry of Voice of Many Waters. We'd like to invite you to join us Saturday, November the 22nd at 1 p.m. during our regularly scheduled Shabbat Mikra service at the Voice of Many Waters at 3J's Coffee House at 21 North Paris in Johnstown. We'll be welcoming noted biblical economist Norm Franz. Norm will be speaking on Mystery Babylon and Judgment Comes to Wall Street. That's Saturday, November the 22nd, 1 p.m. Seating is limited, no child care available. A love offering will be taken.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. At the American Freedom Network. I hope you enjoy our conversation every Friday morning with Joel. I know why I always do, and he has an amazing perspective on what's going on. Under any circumstances, I think we're in for some very difficult times financially, spiritually. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to read it, or at least watch the DVD. You can see that up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. Just scroll down to videos and then scroll down to watch the Brotherhood of Darkness. And you need to have the information that is presented there, because it will help you to understand that there really are satanic organizations. Once you know what they are, you can look them up on the net. They have all sorts of web pages there. And, of course, they're not going to tell you everything they're up to, but you'll be able to verify the fact that the Rosicrucians are real, and that the Gnostics are real, and the Theosophists are real, and the Lucius Trust is real. And we have the advantage of having the Internet, so much of what we tell you can be verified. There is a spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. And, of course, these are not normal human beings. They're supernatural beings who can materialize and dematerialize. And people say, that's crazy talk. Well, there is a supernatural dimension out there. Certainly, Rhonda Byrne's featured repeatedly on Oprah Winfrey in her little book called The Secret. Will tell you that there's a force out there that you can harness with your mind. And the trouble is, there really is a force out there you can harness with your mind, but you do it at the peril of your immortal soul. That's why you need to hear my talk. First of all, the forbidden secret, and then, of course, the secret knowledge are two talks, but they overlap and they take you into the background of the supernatural elements that we're aligned against. We have a great four-tape set on the supernatural, a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance, a four-tape set or CD set on satanic crimes, and the book Satanic Crimes. If you doubt that there is another dimension, I recommend very strongly the book Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil by Father Malachi Martin, a Jesuit priest, and then my interviews with him, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, four taped interviews, something that everybody should hear. And so the information is there. We just hope that you will take the time to get it. We're carrying a wonderful new book by Gregory Reed called The Trojan Church, going into what's happened to the Christian Church and the New Age infiltration of modern-day Christianity. And, I mean, this it helps to explain how it could be that the leader of the 30 million member National Association of Evangelical Christians, 30 million members of that organization, a man named Ted Haggard, turned out to be a cocaine-using homosexual. But he was put in there by other people associated with the New Age to head the evangelical Christians of this country and to use that position to undermine Christianity. And he really did it very effectively. And it wasn't simply he just was a man with problems. He was involved in the occult, at least everything would point in that direction, and both a homosexual and a cocaine addict. But we shouldn't be surprised that drugs are used so often to lure people into
the other
dimension.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes, horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results.